Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Sadi Gimel. Continuing from yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, as we are now well into Perek HaChelek, discussing primarily to Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim has been the number one theme of discussion over the course of this Perek, and it will continue to be for some time. The primary focus of the Perek since the beginning is Minayin Tchias HaMesim in Atar, where we're going to find allusions to this idea that we're going to, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to resurrect the dead in the future. So where is that coming from? So one of the things that the Gemara noted yesterday is that if you open up Sefer Yecheskel, you go to the 37th chapter, so you actually see Tchias HaMesim. Meaning, like, what are we banging our heads for, trying to find out where do we see Tchias HaMesim? What do you mean, where do we see it? We see it in the 37th parak. So what are we going to do with that parak? Meaning, isn't that just a clear raya that there was Tchias HaMesim? So the Gemara pointed out yesterday that at least according to one opinion, it's a mashal. That's not literal. That was just simply an analogy. It was an analogous description, a metaphor towards Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael were in the Galus, but they're going to be sent out of the Galus. They're going to be taken out of the Galus. They're going to, so to say, be revived from the dead. But that doesn't literally mean that they were actually revived. So as long as we got on to the subject matter of Yecheskel and the Tchias HaMesim that occurred over there, so we went over the various opinions in terms of what actually happened with them. Basically, we point out, yesterday we broke down to three opinions. One opinion is that the story is real, the story is literal, and what happened is that they were revived from the dead, and they sung Shira, and then they went back to Dot. They went back to the grave. Second opinion is that it was a mashal. And the third opinion is that Yecheskel revived them, and they went to Eretz Yisrael, and they had children and grandchildren. In fact, Rav Yehuda ben Bava said, sorry, let me say that better. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra said that he was one of the grandchildren, he was one of the descendants of these people, and the tefillin that he had was passed down from his lineage. We also pointed out yesterday that that who were they, meaning if we're going to assume that in fact that they were that they were in fact resurrected and they went back to Eretz Yisrael. So who were they? So one opinion of the Gemara yesterday is that they were the Bnei Ephraim. The Bnei Ephraim who, while during Golus Mitzrayim, so they also were Chishev as the Kates. They tried to figure out when the end was going to come. Their calculations came out 30 years earlier than it actually was supposed to have come. They left, or at least attempted to leave Egypt 30 years early. It's a little bit strange, by the way. It's a curiosity, meaning the rest of the Jewish people said, no, you're not right. We have to wait another 30 years. And they said, no, we think we're right. And certainly curiosity, like, didn't they think for a moment that maybe they're not right because nobody's going with them? But anyway, they left 30 years early. And as a result of that, they were killed. And so that is another opinion in terms of who were these people. Okay, we are in the Gemara now. We are towards the bottom of Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. We're starting today with the words Rav Yochanan Amar. We are describing once again who were these who possibly were these people. The Atzamas Yaveshos, these dry bones. So the Gemara says they are Rav Yochanan Amar Elo Mesim Shebebikas Dura. So these were the people who died in the Dura Valley. Okay, the Dura Valley is something that we're going to be discussing at length today. It's a big event in today's daf. So people are killed in the Dura Valley. V'amar of Yochanan. So the Gemara here gives us a little bit more background in terms of the people who died in the Dura Valley, killed by Nebuchadnezzar. So minar eishal ad rabbis bikas Dura shebisha shehigla Nebuchadnezzar rasha Yisrael hayu behem bachurim shayu miganin esachama biyofyam. So when Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jews from Israel to Bavel, so there was a select number of Jewish people who were very handsome. So handsome, the Gemara gives a description, they put the sun to shame. That's how handsome these young men were. Vayu kasdios ro'os osan, and when the kasdio women, the Babylonian women saw them, vishofos zavos. So they discharged, meaning as a reaction, as a response to how beautiful these men were. Amar la'baleim u'baleim la'melech. So they told their husbands about the beauty of these Jewish men. Husbands obviously were jealous. Husbands reported to the king. And see v'amelech v'hargum. And so what the king did is he killed them. V'adayin ha'yishofa zavos. And tziva ha'melech v'ramsum. So even after they died, they were still attractive men, even after they died. And so what the king did is he basically disembodied them. He totally annihilated their bodies so that they would have no beauty whatsoever. Tana Rabbanan. B'shal shehipal ad Nebuchadnezzar rasha tchanani b'shal v'azari l'kif shana eish. Okay, so We are now turning our attention to the incident of Nebuchadnezzar throwing his three young Jewish advisors into the furnace. A story that we're all familiar with. Third parak of Daniel. What I should have mentioned yesterday is that in anticipation today for preparation today, so you should go over the third parak of Daniel. I mentioned this before in the past, but if it's not too late, you have the entire day ahead of you today. If you want to see how much Aramaic you actually know, meaning let's say you've been learning the daf for a long time, I'm really describing me. So let's say you've been learning the daf for a long time and you feel like, hey, I know Aramaic. So do the following. Open up to the third parak of Sefer Daniel and read. So if you understand it, so your Aramaic is great. If you don't understand it, so at least know that it's really hard. Even somebody who's gone through a little bit of Gemara like myself, I know Gemara Aramaic. I don't know like Aramaic. You open up to the third parak of Daniel, and for that matter and beyond, and you try reading the Pesukim, and you'll see how much Aramaic you actually know. So we're in the third parak of Sefer Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar is throwing these three Jewish advisors into the fire. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yechezkel lech ve'achayim esem bevikas dura. So now, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel is, go and resurrect those that died in the Dura Valley. Kevishachiyah osam ba'wat samos v'tavchulol osa Russia. Now, those people who were resurrected from the Dura Valley, so they went over to Osa Russia, to that wicked man named Nebuchadnezzar, and they slapped him on the face. Amar Matifin Shalelu. So Amrulo Chavrim Shalelu. Mechayimezim Bikadura. So it was explained to Nebuchadnezzar. Those people who just came and slapped you on the face, so they were the ones who were resurrected in the Dura Valley by Yechezkel, and they happened to be friends with them, meaning pointing to Hanani, Mishael, Vazari, who were just thrown into the fire, into the furnace. Pasach va'amar. So now, when Nebuchadnezzar finally understands everything that happened and everything that occurred, so he started saying the following. This is the end of the third parak of Sefer Daniel. Avsoi kama ravravin, v'tamui kama takifin, machuse machus olam, v'shaltana im dorvador. Started praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can understand at this point in time, totally understandable. Look at the miracles that he just experienced. One, he's watching now Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah survive the Kivshan Ha'esh, which that's totally abnormal. Two, those who he killed years earlier are now being resurrected from the dead. So, I mean, just miracles upon miracles. So what he does is he starts praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am Rav Yitzchak Yusak Zav Rosach Lesoch Piv. At that point in time, molten gold was poured down the throat of Nebuchadnezzar. Shel Osa Rasha. She'omale ba malach v'satro piv. Had it not been for the angel smacking him on the face, stopping him from singing the praises, b'kish l'ganos kol shiros v'tishbachos she'amar David b'sefer Tehillim. He would have put to shame the shiros and tishbachos that were in Sefer Tehillim by David HaMelech. Meaning that his shiros and tishbachos would have been greater than that of David HaMelech. In of itself, a statement that's really difficult to understand, but certainly the idea that He started coming around a little too much. But okay, anyway, Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, and now, for the good part of today's daf, as long as we are here, where are we right now? So we are, and let's just, geography, location. We are in the 93rd daf of Sanhedrin, or at least we're about to enter into the 93rd daf of Sanhedrin, we're in Perek HaChelek, and we are now going to give a detailed description of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah being thrown into the furnace. Now, we got a little bit of background information, but not much. Again, what really we should be doing, if time permitted, is going through the entire third parak of Sefer Daniel, where the entire incident is told over there. Not in the kind of rich detail that we're going to be seeing in today's daf, but still, that's the starting point of our discussion. And we are geographically now describing Bavel. After the destruction of the first temple, before the construction of the second temple, and the principal parties that we need to know are, number one, the Babylonian king at the time was Nebuchadnezzar, who was the one who destroyed the Bais Rishon. He then took in he exiled the entire Jewish people, or I should say certainly most of the Jewish people out of Israel, and took it and brought them into Bavel. We've just learned together that some of them he just simply killed. He had young Jewish advisors come as part of his court. We know the principal four advisors that he had going into his court. Number one was Daniel. The Gemara later on is going to ask a really simple question, which is, how come Daniel wasn't around during the Kivshan Ha'esh? Where was he at the time? Simple question. And the other three people that he took into his court were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Another three young very special Jewish young men that he brought into his court as well, serving as advisors. Okay? And that's where we are right now. And the Navi living in the time in Bavel was Yechezkel. Okay, we saw bits of that just a little bit earlier. Okay, so that's a little bit of just orientation that we need to know in order to appreciate and understand what's going on over here. This story, as I mentioned already once before, but again, as long as we're just doing like an overview, this story is told to us primarily in Sefer Daniel, where Daniel the Navi, also living in Bavel at the time, again, he was the chief Jewish advisor to Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, in a little bit, in a moment, we're going to learn that Nebuchadnezzar had the utmost respect for Daniel. In fact, he almost, and I say almost, by the way, I could take that word out of the sentence, he almost worshipped Daniel as a god, meaning he, Nebuchadnezzar, viewed Daniel almost like a quasi-god. So, and so a lot of this episode is told over in Sefer Daniel, specifically in the third paragraph. With all that said, let's continue now in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We are about six lines from the bottom of the Amud on Sadi Beis Amud Beis. Shisha Nisim Nasu Ba'oso Hayom Ve'elohen. There are six miracles that took place, meaning we are now specifically at the point where Nebuchadnezzar is throwing Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah into the furnace, expecting them to die. Of course, they didn't. Six miracles that occurred. Only one of these six miracles are actually mentioned in the Navi. The other five are part of the Mesorah, part of the oral tradition. Tzafa Kifshan, the furnace floated in the air, meaning the furnace was dug into the ground. And so nobody was going to be able to see the miracle. So what the furnace did is the furnace elevated out of the ground. Number two, Nifratza Kifshan, it collapsed. The walls of the Kifshan collapsed so that people could actually see Hanan and Mishael Varzari just sitting in the furnace. V'humak Sodo, the foundation of the furnace also kind of caved in so that the walls would just simply go straight down so that people would get a front view, a front seat look at what's happening in there. Nepach Selam Al Panav, the idol fell on its face. The idol did a face plant. What idol are we talking about? It's the idol, meaning it's basically the idol that was built by Nebuchadnezzar, inviting the entire world to come and bow down to the idol. In fact, that's why Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the furnace, because they refused to bow down to the idol. The idol is reported in the Navi as being somewhere upwards of 60 amas tall. A 60 amas idol puts it at about 100, 120 feet in the air. If you just for imagery purposes, it's like the Statue of Liberty. In other words, this the size of this idol. So the idol planted its face right into the ground. Nisrafu arba malchios v'hechi yecheskel sameisim bebikadura. And then miracles numbers 5 and 6 is that the four kings died, meaning four kings that escorted Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah into the fire. So they themselves died, even though Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah obviously did not. And also miracle number 6 is that concurrently yecheskel resurrected the dry bones in Bavel, in Bikadura, in the Dura Valley. The Kula Gemara, now all of this is part of a tradition. Now even the resurrection of the bones, which is reported in Sefer Yechezkel in the 37th chapter over there, but the idea that it's happening concurrently with our events, that's also part of Torah Shabbat Peh, that's part of the tradition. However, Arba Malchios Kra Dichsiv, however, the four kings dying in the furnace, that's not oral tradition, that's actually state in the Psukim. It says so in Sefer Daniel. You'll forgive me for struggling through these psukim. As I mentioned, this is the third parak of Sefer Daniel. It's all Aramaic. The names, even though I'm just reading names right now, also Aramaic. Adra Gazraya, Gadabraya, Ditavraya, Tavchaya, Vechosha, Tana Medinasa. Uksiv, so far basically an invitation to all the kings of the world, and then continuing in these psukim, Isi Guvran Yehudain, Uksiv, now they brought, bring me the Jewish people, meaning Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Umiskanshin, Achshtapanaya, Sagnaya, Upachvasa, Vehadivre Malka, now these four kings took the three Jews, Chayzan Lagavra Elech, and Tana Debe Rebbe Lazar Ben Yaakov, Afila B'Shah Sakana Lo Yishana Adam, sorry, that's already continuing now with more memras before I get to the memras. So anyway, the point of the Gemara is that these four kings actually escorting Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that's not Gemara, it's not tradition, it's actually stated in the Psukim. Okay. Second line from the bottom. Tani Debe Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Afila B'Shah Sakana Lo Yishana Adam, Es Atzma Min HaRabbanus. Even at a time of danger, you got to keep your cool. It's not an easy Gemara to uphold, but basically, here's what we learn from Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. They're about to be escorted and thrown into a furnace, presumably to their demise. And how do they look? They look calm. How do they look? They look good. In other words, the Gemara actually says it. Shenamar ba'adin gavaya elech kafto b'sar v'lehem patshehem v'char v'ton. How were they dressed? In royal clothing. Remember, they were advisors to the king. They dressed in royalty. Even being escorted into the furnace, they were dressed in royalty. You got to keep your calm, even in the face of mortal danger. I know, it's much easier said than done, but okay, we have to start off by saying it at least. Amar of Yochanan, top of Tzadikim Lamed Aleph. Gidolim Tzadikim Yosef Meimalach HaShari Shenemar. The tzaddikim, meaning specifically Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are sitting in the Kivshan Eish, they're greater than the angels. How do I know that? Shenemar, Anava Amar Ha Ana Chazak of Ren Arba Shayem Ahalchem Begon Nura. I see four people in the fire. V'chavalo Aisa Bahon, and the fire is not hurting them. V'Ravya Di Rivia Damar Lavar Elahan, and the fourth one I'm seeing right now is an angel. So basically, Nebuchadnezzar is now reporting what he sees in the fire. He sees 1, 2, and 3 Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and oh, by the way, number four. Oh, and it was an angel. We know that the fourth one is the Malach Gavriel, who was sent there to save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the fire. Not the first time we've seen Gavriel sent on mission to save somebody, and that's his job. But from our standpoint, from our perspective, Gavriel was counted as number four of the four that were in the fire. And the Gemara says that the tzaddikim are greater than even the Malachi Asharis. The simplest way to explain the Gemara, I believe, is that we have Bechir Chavshis, we have free choice. Exercising free will is obviously something that's so great, it puts us ahead of the Malachim. Am Rabbi Tanchon Bar Chanilai, Vishar Shiyatsu Chanani, Mishael, Vazariam, Kivshan Eish, Baal Kula Almos Olam, Vatavchul Osonem, Sheyitzol Al Paneim. Now, when Hananiah, Mishael, Vazariah survived the Kivshan Eish, miraculously, so the enemies of the Jewish people hit the Jewish people. Now, I know it's a Sonem Shel Yisrael, but that's a euphemism. They hit the Jews on the face. Am Lahem Yesh Lachem Eloka Kazer, you have such a God, and you're morons. You're bowing down to idols. Like, what's wrong with you people? And so their response, the Jewish people's response is, yeah, we're embarrassed, we're humiliated. You're absolutely right. So the Gemara now is going to be darshaning the following pasuk. This pasuk is from Shir HaShirim, but the Gemara is darshing it in the context of our incident. I'm going to go on to the date palm tree, the tamar, but meanwhile, all I was able to do was just hold on to one of the branches. The Gemara explains it in our context. Amarti ala b'tamar ala Yisrael v'achshav lo ala b'yadi ala sansan echash Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. I was hoping to rely on the entire Jewish people not to bow down to the idol, they all did, with only three exceptions. So I was only able to hold on to a branch, meaning the branch of Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. Am Rav Yochanan Amar Dichtiv Reisa Laila Vihine Ish Rochev Al Sus Adom V'Omed Ben Adasim Asher B'Mitzula. Gemara now citing another pasuk. This is from Sefer Zechariah. Zechariah has a vision of being nighttime, a man riding on a red horse, standing between the myrtle that was in the valley. Again, all this vision, and for us, we have no idea what it means. The Gemara is going to give us some insight. Here we go. My reisi alayla bikesh akarsh baruch hu lafochitz kol ha'olam kulo lalayla. Upon the construction of this idol, Nebuchadnezzar that created, where the entire world now is bound down to it. So we have basically universal idolatry. Kadosh Baruch Hu said enough. Enough with this world already. Was ready to turn the entire world into night. The ish over here is a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The red horse signifies the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to bloody this world, meaning the destruction of the entire world. But when he saw the actions of Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, who were ready to stand up against the idol, not bow down to the idol, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had an appeasement. The Hadas is a reference to Tzadikim, Shenemar v'hi omenes Hadassah. Esther is a Tzadikis. She's referred to in the Navi as Hadassah. The myrtle is Sidkus. Ein mitzula ela bavel, shenemar ha'omer l'sula chaviv enadroch ovish. So, and the mitzula is a reference to bavel, meaning it's the valley. Miyad maleim rogiz na'asim shrukim v'adumim. So, na'asim levanim. I'm sorry, Va'adumim na'aseh levanim. So the and now the horse turned into a different color in this vision of Zechariah. And that's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer is seeing red. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is seeing white, much like we know the imagery, the powerful imagery of the wool turning from red to white as the goat is being thrown off the cliff. Here, similarly, the color of the horse in Zechariah's vision is turning from red to white. Amra papa shmamina susya chivra male lechalma. And the Gemara says, oh, parenthetically, what can we get out of this? I mean, a lot, but if you see a white horse in a dream, that's maila lechalma. That's a good sign in your dreams to see a white horse. V'rabanan lahecha azlo. Okay. Now, basically, what the Gemara wants to know is epilogue. Meaning, okay, what happens to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah after Kivshan Ha'esh? So read on in the Navi, and we're not going to know. In other words, the Navi does not report any more information regarding Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah postscript to the incident of the Kivshan Ha'esh. So, a simple question the Gemara wants to know, what happens to them? Amarav Ein HaRamesu. Ushmol Amar Birok Tavu. So the first two opinions of the Gemara is that they suffered a death. They either died with Ayin Hara, that's Rav's opinion, right? They were the center of attention, and being the center of attention is not a good thing. And the Gemara says that they actually died as a result of that. Or the second opinion that I have Shmuel is that they drowned in spit. That there was some sort of reaction where everyone spit upon them for either not bowing down to the idol or having this miraculous recovery, whichever the case is, and they actually drowned in the spit. Again, in a position that's difficult to understand. And the third opinion of the Gemara, Rav Yochanan, Amar, Allah Laos Yisov, V'nafsu Nashim, V'holidu Banu Mavanos. And the third opinion of Rav Yochanan is, they made Aliyah. In other words, you have a miracle occur to you, so your response should be, okay, let's go make Aliyah. And they did so, they married women, they had children. Kitanai, the Gemara points out, this is not only a machlokas amongst the Amoraim, but this parallels an antiquated machlokas amongst the Tanaim, the Gemara reports. Rabbi Lazar Amr Bain Hara, Mesa Rabbi Yoshua Amr, Rabbi Rok Tavu V'chachamim Omrim, Alu La'er Tisov, V'nasu Nashim, V'olid D'banu Muvanu Shenemar. And the Gemara now, again, Brisa has all three opinions that we just saw amongst the Amoraim, where the Chachamim take the position that they actually made Aliyah, they married, they had children, and the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Shenemar, Shema Na Yehoshua, HaKohen Gadol Ata V'recha HaYoshim Lefanecha Ki Anshei Mofes Hema. These are men of great wonder. Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu reports to Yehoshua. Yehoshua at the time was Kohen Gadol. Right, this is obviously much later Yehoshua than the one in the Navi. The one in the Navi is obviously the first to enter into Eretz Yisrael. We are now at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So we are only a short, about 800 years later. Okay, so approximately. So Ezohim Anashim Shanasim Lamofe, who was he pointing to when pointing to Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and pointing to these great men? So Avomer Zechanani Mishav Azariah. Okay, that's who he was pointing to. Again, corroborating this third opinion that they made Aliyah, went to Eretz Yisrael, married women, and had children. Next, the Daniel Leichanazo. Another simple question. We're in the third parak of Sefer Daniel, and Hanani Mishav Azariah refused to bow down to the. Refused to bow down to the idol, and so therefore they were sent into the furnace. Where's Daniel? He was also one of the advisors. He was the fourth Jewish advisor to Nebuchadnezzar. Where was he at the time? So Amar Rav Lemichra Naharo. So the Gemara once again gives the number of opinions of where he was. Meaning, here's what we know. We know where he was not. He was not there by Kivshan Ha'esh. He was not there by this great inauguration day of the idol, of the Nebuchadnezzar idol. He was not there. Okay, so one opinion of the Gemara is that Mechra Nahara, Rava Bitveria. Okay, that's all one. That's one phrase. He was digging canals, water canals in Tveria. Shmuel Amar Lasuye Bizra de Aspasta. Another position is that he was introducing animal fodder into Israel. And Rav Yochanan Amar Lasuye Chazir de Alexandra Shal Mitzrayim. And the third opinion of the Gemara, Rav Yochanan, is that he was importing pigs from Egypt into Israel. Okay, now, right. The Gemara in a moment is just about to question the third opinion. what is going on over here? Digging water canals in up by Tveria, getting animal fodder, importing pig. Well, like, what are these three opinions? The Gemara does not elaborate on these three opinions. So, I've heard suggested, again, I don't have a source off the top of my head right now, but I heard suggested that basically what Daniel was doing at this point in time was preparing Eretz Yisrael for Binyan Bayis Sheni. In other words, the building of the Second Temple. It's difficult to explain, meaning the canals and the animal fodder, meaning preparing life, right, to resume in Israel. So the water and the animal food is all understood. The importation of pigs, difficult to understand exactly how that's going to help. Obviously, we can't eat the pigs, and what exactly is the point? So I'm looking forward to seeing a good pshat. I don't have one right now. Sorry. Ini, the Gemara says, is this true? V'hatanya tudus harofe amar, ein par v'chazir, yosem alexandra shom esrim, she'en chotchen ha'im shalom, b'shosh lo teilein. So we know, we've seen this already in the Masechta earlier, that it was reported by Tudus HaRofe that before exporting any horses or pigs out of Egypt, because they wanted to monopolize the market, so what they would do is they would surgically remove the wombs of these animals before exporting them, so that these animals cannot reproduce, and that Egypt would be able to corner the market on horses and pigs, being that their horses and pigs were the best. So the Gemara's answer is Zutra Haisa below Datayu. So the Gemara says these particular pigs that were imported by Daniel out of Egypt were very small pigs, and the Egyptians weren't bothered by that. They were not prepared to give away large pigs with uteruses, but the small pigs didn't bother them. Tana Rabban. Three people loved the idea that Daniel was not there at the Kivshan Ha'esh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daniel Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel kind of self-explanatory why he was happy that he was not there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Nebuchadnezzar also were happy that he was not there. The Gemara explains each one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Nezo Daniel Mehacha Dolo Lemer B'Zechusi Is Not Sell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, you know what's going to happen if Daniel were there? So it'd be the same. It'd be the same conclusion. But instead of three people being thrown into the furnace, there'd now be four people. But you know what everyone would say? Oh, you know why they weren't burned? Zechus of Daniel. Meaning, and it would not highlight how great Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were if Daniel were thrown in with them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy that Daniel was not there, so that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would get the proper respect and credit that was due to them. Daniel Amar Ezel Mehachad Olalakayim B'Psil Elohim Tisrafun Ba'esh. And Daniel was happy that he was not thrown in as well, because he also realized that he became somewhat like a god-like figure in Babylonian culture. And so, basically, if he were thrown into the furnace, people would say, Psilei Eloheim Tisrafun Ba'esh, borrowing a pasuk from the Chumash, but basically, what are we supposed to do with ours? We're supposed to burn them. So, and that's how it would have been viewed had he been thrown into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar Amar Yavzol Daniel Me'achad Ololemer Kal Yel Aloha Benura. And Nebuchadnezzar was also happy that Daniel was not there, because then, had Nebuchadnezzar thrown Daniel into the fire, so then he, Nebuchadnezzar, would have been accused of being a god killer. Because Nebuchadnezzar himself worshipped Daniel. Why? And the Gemara says, watch one second, Umi nine desagid lay. Now where do we see that Nebuchadnezzar actually worshipped Daniel? Dechsiv. Ba'dem achle Nebuchadnezzar nafal ampayil Daniel sagid. The Navi actually says in Sefer Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar bowed down to Daniel. Now it could be, in terms of why, it could be just simply because Daniel was showed unusual brilliance, as in fact we're going to see in just a moment. And perhaps even more so than the other three advisors, Jewish advisors of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah.
Okay.
That happened at a much later point in time, meaning that was by the Persians. So that was at the end. That was at the end of the exile, and this is all the way in the beginning. So, okay. Karma Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael El Achav Ben Kolev El Tzikiel Ben Ma'isa Neviim Lachem V'Shmi L'Shaker. Okay, we are now turning our attention to a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyahu. We're in the 29th parak of Yirmiyahu, describing two Nevi'e Sheker, false prophets. One went by the name of Achav, and the other one went by the name of Tzidkiyahu. Again, not to be confused with other personalities in Tanakh who share the same name. These are smaller personalities in Tanakh, and as we'll see in just a moment, they were not good Nevi'im to say the least. Uksiv alokech mehem klal alachol galos Yehuda, asher babav alayimor yisimcha Hashem kitzikyao ka'achav, asher kalam melech bavel ba'esh asher sarfam. I'm sorry. Bavel Ba'ish. Asher Safam lo namar ela asher kalam. Now, these Nevi'im were thrown in by Nebuchadnezzar into the furnace and they were burnt. Now, it doesn't say that they were burnt asher sarfam, it actually says asher kalam. They were singed. Amrav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochanan Malam Asam Kiklayos. They were singed like the stalks of wheat. Now, why should that be? Yan asher asu nevala b'Yisrael v'yanafuas neshe re'ehem. So, as a result of the fact that they did a disgraceful act amongst the Jewish people, and they at least attempted to do adultery. The Gemara goes on to explain exactly the story behind the story. My avod azalagabe barted Nebuchadnezzar. These two false prophets approached the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Achav amar la ko amar Hashem ishmi yal tzitkyo. Now Achav said to her, look, I was told by God that you have to have relations with the other false prophet Tzitkyo. Tzitkyo amar ko amar Hashem ishmi yal achav. And Tzitkyahu reciprocated by telling the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, it was told to me by God that you have to sleep with Achav. Now, obviously, God did not give any such nevuah to either one of them, otherwise stated they were false prophets. Azlava Amr Le'Lavua. Now, she reported this this episode to her father, Nebuchadnezzar. Amr La'alu Elokehem Shal Elu Sone Zimahu. Nebuchadnezzar says, here's the little I know about those Jewish people. Their God would not have said that. He was right. So he says to his daughter, look, the next time they come to you, I'd like you to send them to me. And so, exactly as happening, so the next time the Navi, these Nevi'im Sheker came to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, so she sent them to her father. Avu amar lahu, man amar lahu. So the father, meaning Nebuchadnezzar, said, okay, now, again, let's go over this. Who told you this? So Amru HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said, oh, it was God. And now Nebuchadnezzar says, look, I got my Jewish advisors, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and they're also prophets. And I asked them, and they said, God did not instruct of any such event. Amru le ananami nevi'e kavasayu. So they said, look, they're Nevi'im, but we're also Nevi'im. We got the message, they didn't get the message. So now Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, fine, you guys claim you're Nevi'im, that's wonderful. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to test you guys, the two of you, the same way I tested the three of them. You see, to me, at least, Nebuchadnezzar says, I know they're prophets, meaning they survived Kivshan Ha'esh. Okay, so let's see what the two of you. In other words, all you have to do is just survive the Kivshan Ha'esh, and then we're all good. So now they start with the excuses. Well, you know, they were three Nevi'im, and we're only two, so it's a little bit unfair. In other words, if you give us a third Navi, so then we'll talk about going into the fire. Amrlu Barchulachun. So Nebuchadnezzar says, oh, you want a third? No problem at all. I'll even let you choose a third guy. Man Amr Yoshua Kohen Gadol. They chose Yoshua Kohen Gadol to be the third person to go in with them. Now, why didn't they choose Daniel? Okay, I asked a question. I don't have an answer. But anyway. Savri Leisi Yoshua Dadafis Uchusei. Umagna Atlan. So they think Yoshua Kohen Gadol is going to give them the Zuchus to protect the two of them from the Kivshan Eish. They were thrown into the furnace. Those two were burnt, as expected. And Yoshua Kohen Gadol, he wasn't burnt, but his clothing was singed. So, and if you read on the Pesukim, you will see that Yoshua was in fact saved from the fire, although his clothing was singed. So Nebuchadnezzar now turns to Yeshua Kohen Gadol and says, look, I know you're a tzaddik. I get it. You were saved from the fire. So that little I understand. But can you explain to me why your clothing was singed? So Hanani Mishava Azariah lo Ahanya Bei Klal. Now Nebuchadnezzar says, look, I got experience with this matter. I've thrown others into the furnace, and Hanani Mishava Azariah, they came out totally unscathed. No hint whatsoever that they were in a furnace. And meanwhile, so look, you're a tzaddik, that part I get, but your clothing was singed. So lo hanyak bahu klau amar le inu tlasa hava va'anachad. So Yeshua Kohen Gadol says to Nebuchadnezzar, look, there are three and I'm just one. So amar le baha Avram yachid hava. So Nebuchadnezzar says again, I know my Babylonian history. So Avram was sent into the furnace years ago, centuries ago. He was only one, and he was totally unscathed. Hasam lo hava rishayim bahadei. V'lo yisya'i v'rshus al-nura. Hach hava rishayim bahadi, v'yisya'i v'rshus al-nura. And so Yeshua Kohen Gadol gives a wonderful explanation, and that is, look, Avram was there by himself, that's true, but he was a tzaddik by himself in the Kivshon Eish. You see, with me, I had two rishayim that was together with me in the Kivshon Eish. So now the fire was given shlita. There was given some sort of dominion. So my clothing got a little bit singed because the fire was allowed to consume others that were there. And the Gemara now gives us some good boys club advice, and that is, Boy Scout, I was thinking, and that is when you're starting a fire, so if you use wet wood, that's no good. But if you have a good couple pieces of dry wood in there, so the wet wood is going to get singed. That's the mashal. The nimshal, of course, is that Yeshua Kohen Gadol was in the furnace together with the dry wood, meaning the two Nevi'ei Sheker, and so they were burnt, and so he was a little bit singed. Now the Gemara asks the question once again, now can we please have the real answer? Meaning that what Yeshua Kohen Gadol did is he gave a plausible explanation to Nebuchadnezzar in terms of why his clothing was singed. But that's not the real answer. Meaning we're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, can have the two Nevi'ei Sheker being totally burnt, and he being totally unscathed. So let's have now the real answer. How come Yeshua Kohen Gadol's clothing was singed? My time Yanish. Amra Papasha Yubanav Nosim Nashim She'enim Hagonos Lekuna V'lo Micha Behem. So the real answer is that Yeshua Kohen Gadol had sons. They married women who were inappropriate for them to marry. Okay, the Gemara doesn't give us any more details, but we could say succinctly that they married maybe Grushas or Chalalas, whatever the case was. Women they were not allowed to marry. And Yeshua Kohen Gadol did not give tochacha to his own sons. Shenemar v'Yoshua yelavush begadim soim. The Navi describes how Yeshua Kohen Gadol was wearing clothing that had literally excrement on it. Now, v'chidakar she Yeshua lobosh begadim soim. They can't understand the pasuk literally. He's not wearing clothing with excrement. What does that mean? It means the dirty clothing is a metaphor. It means that even though he himself was a tzaddik, as we clearly just saw and demonstrated, but because his sons behaved in a manner and because he didn't give the proper tochacha to his own sons, so therefore the Navi gives a description of his clothing being dirty. Am Rabbi Tanchon Darush Bar Kapar B'Tzipor Mai Dichsev. We are looking now at a pasuk in Megillas Rus. Sheish ha-se'orim ha'ila nasan li. So when Ruth returns back to her mother-in-law and says, you know where I was? I was by Boaz. And you know what he gave me? He gave me six barley. Now, six what barley? Meaning, and the Gemara asked that question. My sheish ha-se'orim ila ma'sheish ha-se'orim mamish. So we're talking about six little pearls of barley. So v'chidakush ha-boaz li te'matana sheish ha-se'orim. And that's kind of hard to imagine. In other words, that the only thing that it would be giving him is just six pearls of barley. That's not enough. And Rashi points out at the last Rashi on this Amud. By the way, there's no Tosfosim, as you probably noticed. It's only Rashi. The last Rashi on the left-hand column points out the Mishnah and Peah Ein Pochasin Laani Begoren Pachos Mechatzi Kav Saorim. That if you're going to give a poor person, you got to give him a significant amount. A half of a kav of barley. So six barley corns is far from giving a significant amount. As we now turn to Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Ella sheish sa'in. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe it's six sa of barley, but we just learned the Mishnah Peah that a half a sa is a generous amount. That's a good amount. So now we're talking about 12 times that amount. And the Gemara says, v'chidakar shalisha litol sheish sa'in. And it's not normal for a woman to be able to carry that much. Ella remez ramaz la sha'atidim shisha banim latzis mimena shemizbarchim sheish sheish brachos. So what Boaz was intimating to Rus with this gift is that it was a message that you're going to have six descendants who are going to be all given with six brachas. Each one of the six descendants will have within them six brachas, ve'elohein. Now the six descendants are David and Mashiach, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, ve'Azariah. Okay, those are the six descendants of Rus. And David dechsev, vayan echam en arim, vayomer hine ra'isi, ben li Yishai beis alachmi. So I see a son to Yishai. Now this is one of Shaul's attendants. We're going to identify him in just a moment. It's going to be Doeg. Okay, spoiler alert. And he says to Shaul that I see that son of Yishai, and he is. Now here comes the six brachos. Yodea Nagin, he knows how to play. The Gibor Chai is a warrior. Ishma Chama, he's brave, he's a warrior. Navon Davar, he's very smart. Ish Toar, he's a handsome man. Vashem Imo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. Six compliments that Doeg gave, described David in front of Shaul. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Kol HaPasuk HaZeh Lo Amru Doeg Ela B'Lashon Hara. Now really what Doeg was trying to do was he was trying to be Malshin David. Now, Lashon Hara usually is bad. This obviously all being good. What he was doing was he was peppering Shaul with, he's really good, he's really good. Trying to get Shaul jealous of David so that Shaul would end up hating David. And by the way, it worked to a certain degree. So Yodeh Nagesh Yodeh Lishaul. And now the Gemara is going to explain all these compliments in the context of learning. So Yodeh Nagesh knows how to play an instrument. Yodeh Lishaul knows how to ask the questions correctly. Meaning part of learning is asking, but part of asking is asking the questions correctly. Gibor Shiyodeh LaHashiv, he also knows how to respond. Ish Mechama Shiyodeh Lisav L'Litam B'Mecham Tosho Torah. He knows how to debate Torah well. He has both the information base, and he knows how to successfully make an argument. Skip the parentheses. And Hashem Imo, I'll read the parentheses, but in other words, a question of the Girsa, but again, all these descriptions are understood in the context of his ability to learn Torah. Ish Torah Shemar Panim Ba'alacha, V'Nadom Davar Shemevin Davar Mitoch Davar. So once again, his ability to both explain Torah and to understand one matter from another. And Hashem Imo, that was the sixth compliment that was given from Doeg about David HaMelech to Shaul, is Hashem Imo. What does that mean, Hashem Imo? In the context of learning, Shalach HaKamosu B'chol Makom. So that whenever he takes the position, that's going to be the halacha. The halacha follows like David HaMelech at all times. B'kula Amar Lu Yonasan B'ni Kamoi. Now when Shaul was hearing all these compliments of David, so he was not enraged and he was not made jealous. Because even his own son Yonasan had all these qualities. 1 through 5, until he got to number 6. So Kevin da Amar Le Hashem Imo Milsa Debidide Nami Lohava Be Chalash Daita V'iknaye Be Debishal. I'm sorry, V'iknaye Be. But when he got to the sixth compliment of, and the halacha always follows him, so at that point in time, Shaul was enraged. He was made jealous. Meaning Yonasan, the halacha did not always follow like his son Yonasan, the halacha didn't even follow like him. And the Gemara makes this point. The Bishal Ksiva V'chol Asher Yifnei Yashia U'vidavik Ksiva V'chol Asher Yifnei Yathliach. So Shaul, not all the time did the halacha fall like him, but by David that was in fact so. Okay. Now, all this whispering that was done into Shaul's ear about David HaMelech was said by the Na'ar. It was a lad. The Gemara told us it was Doeg, but the Pasuk didn't tell us it was Doeg. The Gemara just wants to know, how do we know this? It was somebody special. And when the Navi gives us a description of Doeg, he was Avir HaRoim. He was the select one of the shepherds. So we know that he was a special individual. So the Gemara just simply puts these two psukim side by side and basically helps us identify that the one who was speaking to Shaul was Doeg. Mashiach Dechsev, now again, we're looking at the six descendants of Rus, and we're here because descendants 3, 4, 5, and 6 were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Ve'Azariah. So fits into today context of today's daf. So, but anyway, we're up to number 2. Number 2 is Mashiach. It's interesting, you got the number 2 slot. So the but anyway, v'nachal avruch Hashem ruach chachma v'ina ruach etzel gvura ruach das v'yiras Hashem, and it says regarding the Mashiach these six brachos, and again each one of the six descendants of Rus were all given six special brachos. Uksi ve'erichu b'yiras Hashem. And he was hirichu. What does that mean? Amar Rav Alexandria, Malamei shehitinu mitzvos b'yisurim kerechayim. He was able to shoulder a lot of mitzvos and a lot of yisurim like a millstone. Rav Amar demarach v'dayin. Another explanation of what it means, the heirichu b'yiras Hashem, is he was able to sniff out justice. He was a bloodhound, meaning unlike a regular judge, how does he judge? Using the perception of sight and that of sound. In other words, he sees, he hears, and that's how he judges. Mashiach, how does he judge? With the scent of smell. Now, I know a lot of you are looking at me for a better explanation of this. That's all I got for you right now. Dichsiv velo lamara einav yishpot v'shafa betzedek dalim v'ochich b'mishor le'inui eretz. So the Navi gives a description of the ability of Mashiach to judge, but not with his sight, just with the ability to smell. And the Gemara here, fascinating. Bar Koziva melech tartin shninu palga. Bar Koziva ruled for 2.5 years. Now we are fast forwarding in Jewish history. We're going to post Chorban Bayis Sheni, and we're describing Bar Koziva, but we probably know him better as Bar Kochva. And Bar Kochva was the ruler of the Jewish people for 2.5 years. And then his rule came to an end. Now, look at the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. I don't have it in front of me right now. Look in the 11th parak, and you're going to see a slightly different version of what happened at the end of Bar Kochva's rule. We are going to read the Gemara's version. Am lula Rabban anana Mashiach. So he makes the proclamation that he's Mashiach. Am lulei b'Mashiach siv demarech v'adayin. So it's interesting. You're Mashiach, really. You know that the Mashiach is able to smell out, is able to sniff out justice. Can you do that? And they saw that he did not have this ability to perceive justice with the scent of smell, and so they killed him. So our version, meaning the Gemara's version of the demise of Bar Kochva, is that he was proven not to be the Mashiach, and seemingly we killed him. That's our version of the events of Bar Kochva. Again, see the Rambam in the 11th parak of Hilchos Malachim. Daniel Chanani Mishal V'Azari Dichsiv Behu. We're going to finish up today with the last four of Ruth's six descendants that were intimated to her by Boaz giving her the six kernels of barley. And here now, Asher Ein Bahem Komom, and so now we are now back to Sefer Daniel. Full circle in today's daf. This is the first parak of Sefer Daniel, a description of these four young Jewish advisors who were the four descendants of Rus. Now, if it's interesting to you that I'm reading now in Hebrew, even though it's Sefer Daniel, so again, for the uninitiated, Sefer Daniel starts in Hebrew and then shifts over to Aramaic. So this is the beginning of Sefer Daniel. Komum v'tuv emaru maskilam b'chochachma v'yodei das mevine meida. Ve'asher koch b'em la'amod b'heichal ha'melech ulalamdam sefer v'lashon kazdim. So again, six adjectives describing these four young Jewish advisors. Ma asher ein bahem kol mom, they had no blemishes. Amar Rabbi Chama, afilu kirivada dekusilta lohava behu. They didn't even need bloodletting. Bloodletting was going to require a needle to go into their body, and they didn't even have the piercings in their body for any bloodletting. They didn't need the bloodletting. Ma v'asher koch bahem lamod behechal, they stood in the hechal. I'm sorry, behechal amalch. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, malam ishayu onsen esatzman. Out of the fact that they were in the king's palace, so they never had gratuitous laughter, minasicha, gratuitous conversation, or minashena, gratuitous sleep, or ma'amida ma'atzman b'shash and itzrach l'nekmei m'emnei emas machos. And because of the respect and all that they had for the king and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king. If they had to go to the bathroom, they would hold themselves back from having to go to the bathroom, meaning that they maintained a certain level of honor and dignity out of respect of the Malchus, respect for the king. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we start with the second wide line.